So what we'll do is I will set up, I'll introduce, I'll do my little intro. I'll give a brief little spiel about the book, and then I will bring you in. How do you like to be introduced, like credits-wise?
I don't know. Jen Takahashi works well.
Great. I assume you have no problems with us bringing up Best of Next Door.
Yeah, of course. This is why I'm doing it, because your post always does. It's like the number one post.
Such a weird thing.
I guess I'll save it for the podcast, but I want to ask you about that.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Trust me, we'll talk about that, because not surprisingly, there's not a whole lot of plot to this book. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we are looking at 1998's The Berenstain Bear Scouts and the Evil Eye. Now, the weird thing about this book, a lot of times I have people on my show who aren't familiar with the Berenstain Bears books. They haven't been reading all the chapter books like I have, and they're a little lost as to where we are in the plot. This is a first for me, because I'm a little lost as to where I am in this plot, because this book is a direct follow-up to a book that we haven't covered yet. There's a book called The Berenstain Bear Scouts and the Really Big Disaster that comes right before this one, that this one keeps referring back to in a way I have never experienced with the Berenstain Bears chapter book before. This is just replete with callbacks to some sort of really big disaster that involved an earthquake, but that I'm not familiar with. But it's a book written for 10-year-olds. I didn't have a whole lot of trouble piecing together the plot, so I hope no one else does either. Now, of course, I couldn't piece together the plot of this book without a little help. Now, the Berenstain Bears live in a community, and part of living in a community is being there for your neighbors, making sure that your neighbors are okay, making sure that your neighbors are up to only good things, and making sure that everyone is keeping an eye on the business of each other's neighbors. And I cannot think of anyone better to talk about a community where everyone's keeping an eye on each other's neighbors than the creator of the suddenly very famous Twitter account, Best of Next Door. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Jen Takahashi. Hello, Jen.
Woo, what an intro. You got me all pumped up for this.
I know, this is so crazy. And not only are you, okay, the whole way you came to be on this show is a story.
Yes, and I am so excited to jump into this.
Yeah, because how long ago was it?
It was probably one of the first submissions that I had gotten. So, and I started this Twitter account in November.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to say probably it was around November.
I guess you've rerun this one a few times.
Oh, I do it on a monthly basis. It's a classic.
So this is correct. So why don't you explain to, before we get into the Berenstain Bears at all, why don't you explain to our listeners what exactly your Twitter feed is?
So I have a Twitter account called Best of Next Door, where I basically just chronicle quality neighborhood drama. And that could be just interactions, kind of petty interactions with neighbors, and also just really anything that's kind of funny or odd on the neighborhood app. And that brings us to how Phil and I met.
This was so weird.
I was just telling my dad I had to get off the phone with him because I had to go on a podcast, and I was like, Dad, you know that one post that I post every month about the Berenstain Bears. So sorry for backstory. I got a submission, and it was a post on Nextdoor, and it was a new member post. So whenever you join Nextdoor, you basically creates a post saying so and so just joined, and you can say a little something. And Phil, do you want to take it away?
I think what did I say? I was like, hey, everyone, I'm Phil. I have a podcast about the Berenstain Bears. How does that make you feel? Because that's kind of how I introduce myself to everyone anyway.
Yeah, Oh my gosh. And it's been one of my most popular posts ever since. People just love it. And I think people actually were like, "Oh, I know that podcast. I really, really love it." So it's been really cool.
Well, I got well, because it was posted as just an image, so I was just completely clueless. And then someone tagged this show, were like, "Hey, I found it," and a few people were like, "Ew, what's wrong with this guy?" And so I was like, "Well, I've got to stand up for my bear show." So I barged in, and I was like, "It's my show! It's my Parents' Day Bear show."
I think I remember you at first were tweeting from your personal handle, and then you're like,
Yes.
"Oh," and then you're like, "Actually, I just remembered branding," and so
Yes.
you switched to the podcast Twitter, which was great.
I am the worst at branding. I'm the worst at like promotion. So anytime someone accidentally promotes me, I'm like, good, good, good. It's a few things I don't have to do.
Yeah, and it's cool because I purposely actually don't tag you in it, and I because I want to see the reactions first.
Yeah.
And then so when I see people reacting, it's there's always like fans of yours who
That's
are just
so
like, "I
funny.
love that podcast," or actually, "I was on that podcast before." So
Yep.
it's and then I tag you in it.
Because sometimes doing this show feels like I'm just yelling about bears into the void. So like I don't get a whole lot of like feedback a lot of times. So then just to suddenly have like this happen, I'm like, right. I exist in a world with people. And what's really funny is I know that because of the way Nextdoor works, that has to be someone from my community who sent that in. So someone who lives around me was like, get a load of this guy.
Well, I was going to ask you, did anyone react to that post?
No, not really. Like when you post to Nextdoor, you get like I don't they don't call them likes. They call them thanks. So like I got a bunch of like thanks. But Nextdoor is so weird. Like everyone's like afraid to like come right out and like be themselves. The only time people are not afraid to come out and be themselves is when they're being like either horribly racist or horribly reactionary, or being like just a smart aleck like I can be. So yeah,
I'm amazed that you didn't get any reactions or besides the thanks. I thought for sure people would be just all the old people on next door like, "Oh, what's a podcast?" Like,
oh, Berenstain Bears, I grew up with them. Now people are
yeah.
mostly concerned about like, someone was standing near my car last evening. Has anyone seen someone standing near cars recently? Next door.
Next door.
And so then you and I started like communicating, and I was like, well, you gave me a boost to my show. Like, I've got to have you on my show. Like, you're like, I was like, this has to happen. This totally has to happen. And then you recently got written about in The Atlantic.
Isn't that so funny?
That is so gorgeous. Like, wow, what is happening?
I know, actually, that reminds me. I need to do my monthly repost of your post, and it's
Right.
like the perfect time to do it is right now.
Yes, this is called synergy. We are. I don't understand how it works, but somehow this is going to benefit everyone. Somehow the Atlantic as well. Somehow they'll get a boost from all this.
Oh, absolutely.
Send them some new readers.
And I'm happy that you just said that this book was a little bit confusing because I have had to reread some sections and I felt a little bit embarrassed about
Well, let's dive into this. So, before we get into the meat of the book, do you have any kind of history with the Berenstain Bears? Like, did you read them at all? Are you familiar with the characters?
I remember I love them. I would collect all of the books. I remember the mom has a bonnet, right?
Yeah, like her like little hat. Yeah.
And the dad is usually in overalls, but that's really all. And I remember that there's a brother and a sister because I have a little brother, and I always kind of thought that as like my little bear family.
And you know, the amount that you remember about these books is the appropriate amount for an adult. Like that is how much that is as much information from the Berenstain Bears as an adult should carry around in their heads with them. Mama, papa, sister, and brother. And that's all you need to know. Unfortunately, I am burdened with way too much Berenstain Bears knowledge. So why don't we walk through this book a little bit? Why don't you tell us what happens in this book, as well as you can figure out?
Well, I think that this is about hypnotism.
Yes.
And there's a weasel involved.
Okay.
And I remember that one of the chapters was, oh my gosh, it had one of my mom's favorite sayings in it. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. And that's basically all. So yeah, you can take it away and I'll probably try to
Oh,
remember
I
some
was
of
going to
it.
say, do go on.
Okay, there's also these little scouts. I didn't remember that, but they have these little scouts and they're trying to replant some plants on the mountain.
Oh yeah, I hope that people are interested in a soil replenishment because this book goes well into like the environmental aspects of like the degradation of of soil.
I was so confused.
Yeah, this may not su this may surprise you, but I really was too.
Because I this isn't the Berenstain Bears that I remember.
No, this is the Berenstain Bears that no one remembers.
Okay, good.
Because at this point in the Berenstain Bears chapter book history, sales were, I think this is where sales were really starting to fall off. The Berenstain Bears chapter books were a huge hit when they first came out, but by this point they were floundering a little bit. And this is, it's not long. We don't have long to go before the whole series peters out. Stan and Jan's last attempts to keep this market going. And what we have here, what these, so the Berenstain, this is the Berenstain Bears Scouts series. And most of these are based on episodes of the Saturday morning TV show from the 1980s, which is
Oh.
why the plot is so, well, Saturday morning television-y. Like, it doesn't, it's very bare bones and involves a lot of villains and weirdness that doesn't have much of a repercussion later on in the story. So basically, what happens is Ralph Ripoff, the neighborhood swindler, is feeling kind of low because he can't swindle anymore. He's lost his touch. As you say, the mighty have fallen. And he gets a notice from his usual rag, he has a magazine, like a swindler's magazine, that's basically like, make $1 million by hypnotizing people. And so he decides he's going to hypnotize people in order to get their money. Does that sound right to you?
Yes, I like your version a lot more than mine.
What did you think? What did you think of the character of Ralph Ripoff?
So I as I was reading this and I was getting a little bit confused, I actually started taking notes and I could not believe that, at my age, I'm like taking notes for a Berenstain Bears book.
Yep.
But the one thing that I wrote, because I only wrote one thing, is I heart Ralph
What is it you like
Ripoff.
about Ralph?
I think that he's just so funny, the way he this his kind of swagger that he has.
Yep.
And is this the first time Ralph has been introduced in the series?
Oh God, no. He's in like almost every single book.
Oh.
He's literally the neighborhood crook.
Oh,
Like that is
okay.
his job. He is there to play three card Monty, to play shell games, to on several occasions actually attempt to kill the children. And then on other occasions, be their best friend, just depending on
Oh.
whatever mood Stan Berenstain was in that day when he was writing that particular book. Because he and Weasel McGreed actually attempt to kill the Bear Scouts at the end of this book with Big Paw's
Yep.
hypnotism.
I kind of forgot about that. Now I feel bad about saying I heart Ralph.
It's okay. It's okay because it's all about charm. He's a really charming guy. That's how he gets away with it. He like almost like seduced the head of the Dr. Gert Grizzly's the head of a Bear Town hospital, and he like almost seduced her in a in one of the books. Like he's that charming. I
Wow. How did
know.
he do that?
Just his style, just his graces, his silver tongue, his
His
smooth
suit.
ways. His suit, his seersucker suit, or whatever that is. It probably doesn't come as any surprise that he is was his this character was created for the Saturday morning cartoon. Bear Country didn't have bad guys in it, of course. So when they created the Saturday morning cartoon, they needed bad guys, and so Ralph Ripoff, who was known as Raffish Ralph at the time, was introduced, and he was voiced by Frank Welker, who gave him sort of this kind of a voice. Like he was sort of like the he was the W.C. Fields character, see? Like he was like, ah, oh, Papa Bear, how you doing? Like it was a cartoon character. But then when you try to translate that into like prose fiction, it doesn't, it's like, oh, well, who is this guy? Why is he trying to kill all these kids?
I can't believe you're I'm so impressed with your voice talent right now. I thought that you had like pressed a button or something and you magically had like this voice magic thing.
Well,
I
actually, Raffish Ralph is right here in the room. How's it
don't
going, everybody? I'm Ralph Ribop.
Well, I'm not sure I would love him with that voice. I was expecting more of a, I don't know, a lot, slightly less bubbly voice.
Yeah, like a little
just
more,
like.
like who, like what actor would you cast as Ralph Ripoff in a live action movie?
Ooh. The first person that comes to mind is Russell Brand, but I can't really see him as British.
I could see that though. We don't know where Ralph's from. We know that
True.
we know he traveled a lot in his youth. We know he worked for circuses. We know that he was an assistant hypnotist as a young man. So he could be British. We don't know. He
He
hasn't
really
lived in.
was an assistant hypnotist. I thought he was lying.
Okay, so in the Berenstain Bears, oh gosh, which book was it? One of the other chapter books. So, okay, I'm gonna get ready to have your mind blown. There's the chapter books, there's the Berenstain Bears big chapter books, and there's the Berenstain Bears Scouts chapter books, and those are two separate continuities.
Okay.
Like they are two completely separate continuities. The history of Bear Country is different in each one. In the big chapter books, Raffish Ralph is, or Ralph Ripoff is more of a hero, like a he's a nicer guy. He doesn't try to kill the cubs in those books. And in those books, it's established that he is a hypnotist, that he is a like a very good hypnotist, and he hypnotizes cubs, but only for entertainment purposes. I think he also tries to
Interesting.
steal something or something. I can't remember. It was one of the books. He hypnotizes a bunch of the cubs. But in this series, he's more of a novice, I guess, because he hypnotizes a bull or a cow, right? But then he gets it turned back on him by Weasel McGreed, who hypnotizes him. Let's talk about Weasel McGreed.
Let's.
Were you expecting weasels in the Berenstain Bears universe?
No, this whole thing was just me kind of thinking that I don't really remember that much from my childhood because I thought for sure I would remember the books. And I was actually just talking to my my best friend on the phone, and I was like, "Do you remember any weasels in there?" And she doesn't either.
Yeah, if you watch the old cartoon, the weasels were of course created for the cartoon because you got to have bad guys. And but they are always attempting to overthrow Bear Country and take over Bear Country for whatever reason, through violent means if necessary. And
Aww.
they always get Ralph to work for them because he has no friends, I guess. They don't pay him. They just threaten him.
Really?
Yeah.
Ralph Ripoff, I'm losing respect by the minute.
I know, well, Russell Brand. Russell Brand. I mean, the guy lives in a houseboat. Like
Does.
he lives in a busted up houseboat and his only friend is a parrot.
So that's also within the series too, or is this just stuff that happens in the book?
Oh no, that's within the series. Squawk the Parrot is in the
Oh.
series. Let's talk about Big Paw.
What is Big Paw?
What do you think Big Paw is?
Is Big Paw like the god or something?
Funny you should ask. I have actually theorized about
Oh,
that in past
really?
episodes. Okay, so these chapter books, they go so much into the history of Bear Country at times. I mean, as my listeners are no doubt overwhelmed to hear about again, we learn about the bears, the war between the grizzly faction and the bear faction. They basically their version of the Civil War. They had their version of the Revolutionary War. They have their religions, these old faiths that exist like out in the outskirts of Bear Country. And Big Paw is they don't really know what he is. It's actual factual. The scientist posits that he is like the last of the missing link, like between like bears and like prehistoric bears, that he's the last cave bear. But like you also kind of get hints that he's connected to some kind of older faith. There's these weird standing stones that I obsessed about for like a whole episode, leading up to his cave. Like this, they're called the Three Sentinels. That totally wigged me out when I read about it. So, is Big Paw some old god? We don't know, but he's certainly not a regular bear. He was also introduced in a cartoon in a Thanksgiving special, and he was part of the Saturday morning show, and he's in a lot of the Bear Scouts chapter books. But he's like the giant thing that lives up in the mountains.
I also didn't, it took me a bit to realize how big Big Paw was. And then I was like, oh, it's God.
Yes. Yes, he's gigantic.
Yeah, I didn't realize how literal they meant, or how, yeah, how literal the name was.
Yeah, because you don't really see how big he is until you see the bears next to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Weasel McGreed is basically, it says to Ralph, like, well, it's weird because, like, Ralph goes to Weasel McGreed, and then you find out that Weasel McGreed is a better hypnotist than Ralph. So Weasel McGreed is the hypnotist after, like, Ralph doesn't do any hypnotizing after, like, the first scene. It's just the weasels.
Yeah, I had to reread that part again.
Yeah. So the idea is that they're going to go to Big Paw, hypnotize him, get him to hate all the bears, and then kill the bears, kill all the bears in Bear Country with his giant club, specifically the cubs. And they do so by flattering his singing voice and convincing him that he's going to be performing opera. Like, that's the plot. They actually create images of Big Paw as various leads in various operas in William Tell, as the character of Falstaff, and they somehow use this flattery to hypnotize him.
Another thing, sorry, side note, I was going to ask you is, what's up with the earthquake?
So that's what I was referring to in my intro. So they keep talking about this earthquake. What do they say about it? Like, it destroyed, like, the weasel's lair?
Yeah, I was confused. Because it made it seem like all the weasels were dead, and then they weren't.
So, I guess, so you're familiar with, like, the Babysitter's Club, with, like all, like, those chapter books that came out in, like, the late 80s, early 90s?
Yes.
Like, and those all had, like, numbers on the spine, so that you could, like, tell which book came before which one.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Bear Scouts books and the Berenstain Bear chapter books don't have numbers. Like, they're not numbered. So they're just kind of thrown out there, and they would kind of just publish a bunch at once. The problem is they do follow a rough continuity. I don't know what that continuity is until I read them. And apparently the book, The Really Big Disaster, came before this one, and it's about the earthquake. But I've never read The Really Big Disaster. So I just had to sort of put it together from context clues that there was an earthquake, Big Paw saved everyone, and I guess the weasels were almost killed by the earthquake. Does that sound like it? Does that sound right?
It sounds right.
They all seem pretty mad, though.
They do, but are they always mad? I mean, they're weasels. I feel
they are always mad. They are literally always angry.
If I were a weasel, I would be mad too.
If you had to live underground, too.
Yeah.
They have this whole warren. None of the bears in Bear Country believe the weasels exist, by the way, except the bear cubs and the scouts and Grizzly Gramps, who we visit at one point.
Wait, really? No one believes that they exist?
No one believes that they exist, even though they have attempted to destroy Bear Country on numerous occasions. They're considered like a myth that only crazy old Grizzly Gramps believes in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about that.
Wait, does everyone know who Big Paw is then? Or is
everyone
Big Paw
knows who Big Paw is.
Okay. Oh, I forgot. Everyone hears him singing.
He's a giant bear. Lives up in the mountains. How can you miss him? Of course, they are a whole society of weasels who live right under their feet.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the soil thing. What's going on with the soil thing?
I don't know, but I felt like I was reading a Berenstain Bears version of like a science textbook.
Uh-huh.
Did you? And I don't really have anything to say. I was just confused at, I didn't know if this was supposed to be teaching us about soil.
I don't either. Like, so the whole, like, I guess like the, I don't even want to say if it's like the inciting incident, because it doesn't ever have anything to do with how the story ends up. The scouts are trying to get their soil conservation merit badge in this book. And so they have to go to Actual Factual to learn about soil conservation, which involves them planting plants on the mountain where Big Paw lives.
Is this usually how they get themselves into trouble?
This book is based on an episode of the cartoon called The Berenstain Bears and the Wicked Weasel Spell. And it's the basic same plot, except, of course, it's much shorter. There's no Bear Scouts. And the bear cubs go to visit Big Paw just because they like Big Paw. They're friends with him. So they go up to the mountain. That's it. They didn't need to be any kind of soil conservation subplot. Like, it just, they know Big Paw. And when he's singing and happy, they want to go say hi to him. So they do. And this book throws in this whole, like, you learn a lot about soil conservation.
Yeah, too much.
You learn, like, they have to investigate, like, plants, like, what kind of plants they need to plant. They talk to Grizzly Gran about, like, these plants are mostly different kinds of sedum and ivy, said Gran. Let me give you some samples to try on your mountainside. And, like, then they just talk about, like, plants for a long time.
A really long time.
So and then Grizzly Gramps is like, I have a bad feeling that Weasel McGreed is up to no good again. Like, and that's it. Like, he just has a feeling about
Does he have a lot of feelings?
Grizzly Gramps is an angry man.
I could tell by the one cartoon I saw of him.
The one, like, picture they have?
Yeah.
Where he's literally steaming from his head. Yeah. These books don't do Gramps any favor. He is not only the town curmudgeon, he's the town ultra-conservative. He writes, it specifically says, one of his favorite pastimes is writing angry letters to the editor. He is a next door character.
I was just thinking that. I love him.
No, he totally is. He's next door. Like, all he does is, like, complain about things changing, grouse about, like, the government. He is that guy.
And that photo, I feel like that photo of him just, like, steaming mad, I feel like I could change that as, like, my default photo on Twitter. Yeah, and everyone would just get it.
With these four children, like, staring at him, like, what's wrong with Grandpa?
I know.
What's wrong with Grandpa? Four kids bicycled down my street the other day. That's what's wrong with Grandpa. So they develop this plan to, like, hypnotize Big Paw and convince him that the children are mosquitoes, because Big Paw hates mosquitoes. And it works. It totally works. He, like, goes berserk and starts trying to kill the children, like, swinging his giant club at them.
He goes berserk. Sorry.
He does. Hey, earlier in this book, they make the pun, hypnotism was developed by the great bear, Grismer, which is their version, their world's version of Mesmer, the guy who invented mesmerism. So never feel bad about making a bear pun. Like, never feel bad, because you have been beaten to it by the authors themselves.
Good.
One of the books actually mentioned pop star Bear, B-E-A-R, Barry Manilow. Literally exists in this universe. So never feel bad. Like, never feel bad about anything. Like, anything you do. Like, if you do something accidentally terrible to someone, you can just stop and go, at least I didn't come up with the pun Barry Manilow. Which isn't even a real pun. It's just the name.
It's beautiful.
It's a homophone. I will rant on about the Berenstain Bears for forever. So the cubs use the power of love to defeat the mesmerism, to defeat the hypnotism.
Very sweet.
Like, that's true. Like, they're like, you cannot defeat the power of love. Because Big Paw loves the cubs. And then he throws Ralph and Weasel McGreed down the hill. And they return to Weasel World. And then Ralph tries to hypnotize Squawk, but then Squawk repeats the hypnosis back at Ralph, which I don't think is how hypnosis works. And Ralph turns into a dog. And then you have the most terrifying ending of a Berenstain Bears book ever. The final illustration. Please describe this for us.
I was wondering about that too. It's basically, I just want to say, dun, dun, dun. Because that's really, it just goes with the book. It ends with, they are just as proud of the fact they had saved Bear Country from the evil influence of, all caps, the evil eye. And then there's a big ol' eye.
And there's this evil. terrifyingly bloodshot evil eye.
You want to know something embarrassing? Is when I first looked at the photo, I actually thought that it was like the soil.
Like, so you were just seeing the negative space?
Yeah.
Like when people see the Superman's logo and they're like, it looks like two fish swimming by each other. That is amazing.
I was still stuck on the soil stuff.
Which never gets resolved.
I know.
It says that they earned their soil conservation merit badges, but that's just crammed in at the last paragraph.
Yeah.
And I will say that, like, yeah, we earned our... Okay, these are cubs who, like, yes, we've earned many merit badges in soil conservation and learning about nature and, like, learning about birds and stuff. But you've also, like, literally defeated an evil empire and befriended a behemoth who lives up in the mountains. And they don't get any badges. They don't get any kind of pats on the back for that.
Why does Big Paw love them so much?
Because he's a good-hearted man.
No, I see that. I didn't know if there was any, like, history about, like, how they became friends.
Well, Big Paw was a legend that nobody believed in for a long time. Grizzly Gran, or maybe it was Mama in the original version of the story. Mama in the original cartoon, like the Thanksgiving special, was a diviner. Like, she would, like, read honeycomb, like, as, like, people would read tea leaves. She would read, like, honey, like, patterns in honeycomb to divine the future. And the honey told her that Big Paw was returning. And people started panicking because they were like, what's Big Paw? He's such a legend. And then he returns and he's very angry and he's coming down the mountain. And people, the bear country literally goes to arms. Like, they haul out their guns, their cannons. They're going to go kill this monster that's coming down the hill. The cubs are like, no, he deserves to live just like you and me. They run up to try and get between him and the guns. And then they fall off the mountain and Big Paw catches them and saves them. And that's when people realize that he's actually a good guy. He's just terribly misunderstood and no one's ever, like, loved him before. And then he becomes friends with Bear Country.
Oh.
It's a great story.
It is. It made my heart warm.
No, he's based on the Great Natural Bear, who appeared in early Berenstain Bears' almanacs, who was actually slightly more clothed than Big Paw. I think he wore a hat.
I didn't realize that Big Paw wasn't wearing anything.
No, he's not wearing anything. I mean, think about it. All the bears wear clothes.
Interesting.
Except for this guy. There you go. Yeah. I mean, I get. What are they going to do? Like, complain? They can't complain.
I'm looking at it again. I'm shocked. I can't believe I missed that part.
Yep. It's basically like that big naked man who lives up in the mountains. I guess we should be nice to him because he's literally a giant naked man who lives up in the mountains. So yeah, this is actually one of the most plot thin books I've read in a long time. Like, usually they try to pad it out a lot more, but it's pretty bare bones as far as what happens in this book. Not a lot. But Jen, what did you think of your introduction to the world of the Berenstain Bears chapter books?
Yeah, I've never read a chapter book from Berenstain Bears before. On a scale, if I were to grade it, I would say I would give it like a D.
A D? Good.
Okay. Well, what Good. Would you grade it?
Having read all the books, this is actually, I think, one of the lesser ones I've ever read. It's got a lot of it's got some of the weirdness of the Saturday Morning Show, but not a whole lot happens. It's not weird enough to be like some of the Bear Scouts books get totally out there. I mean, in some of these chapter books, I bring it up all the time, but Jen has to know. In one of the books, I think it was in the Freaky Funhouse, the cubs get kidnapped by a couple of criminals who work with Ralph. They're like known associates of Ralph. Ralph decides to rescue the cubs. And in doing so, he gets tied up by the criminals, gagged and bound, and thrown into the river, and everyone thinks he's been murdered. The cubs witness this happening and start freaking out and screaming because as the criminals make it known, they're next. And it's only the intervention of Police Chief Bruno and Officer Marguerite and the cops who arrest the criminals for murder. For literally murdering Ralph Ripoff. Fortunately, he had a history as a quick escape artist. and managed to get out of his bonds and reveal himself. So they only go to prison for attempted murder and kidnapping. But those are the kind of plots I've dealt with in the past.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say that I forgot about how much I love Ralph and his swagger, though, so I'm giving it a C.
Give it a C. Give it a C for Ralph. Oh, Ralph has done many things. Like, he's tried to swindle. Even in this book, the Cubs are like, they all love Ralph deep down. Like, they actually help Ralph out. They write him a note telling him that, like trouble's a-coming. Yeah, better get moving. Chief Bruno will be here in a minute. Because he's selling fake four-leaf clovers in the beginning of this book.
How can you not love that?
And so they're like, oh no, Chief Bruno's coming. Better help Ralph out. And then he tries to kill them in the, like, Ralph, these...
Hi.
He's like, those Cubs are always busting up my swindles. And I'm like, they literally just saved you from getting arrested, Ralph.
Yeah, I kind of skimmed over that part. I was trying to convince myself that it was the weasels. They just hypnotized him.
It's the bad influence.
Ralph has a good heart. I could tell.
I think deep down he does. I think he really just doesn't know how to connect with people.
I know. He has confidence issues, though.
Does he? Yeah, I think he does. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's how he started reading the magazine, because he was getting such low self-esteem. He felt like he wasn't a good swindler anymore. Poor guy.
Yeah, and I guess you've all got to have your thing, like the thing that you're known for. Like, they didn't have poor social guy. Media back then. He couldn't put together a funny Twitter-like account.
Yeah.
He had to prove himself some other way. I think now Ralph would probably be like an online entertainer.
He would be one of those YouTube stars.
Yes.
That do those pranks.
Yes.
That everyone gets really mad about.
Yeah. Someone should do a YouTube prank series where they act and dress exactly like Ralph Ripoff, as if they're trying to get, like, because he's so loud and so ostentatious, there's literally no way he could subtly get away with pranking someone. That would be my favorite thing, though, to see someone in like a straw boater in a bright green suit with a cane, like thinking they're putting one over on someone.
I think you found your calling.
I think I finally found something I'm good at. I think I'm going to put on a green suit and be like, now watch me as I go into this store and pretend to steal something. And then I get arrested. Like, I would only ever get arrested.
Has Ralph been arrested? Yeah, I think I read that he has been arrested, right?
Oh, many times.
Oh.
Oh, many times. Many, many times. He's always let off with like a slap on the wrist.
Aw, who can stay mad at Ralph?
I think it's kind of like back in like especially like in the like the 1800s, but like small villages and stuff. Like you had like the everyone had their place and their position and their job. So like there were like the beggars, and like the beggars were the beggars, and you like that was what they did. And like there was like the shoemaker, and that's what they did. And there was like the swindler, and that's like what they did. And I think that like Ralph, like that's, it's a sort of like this old world feel of Bear Country. Like, well, of course we have a thief. Like every town has a thief, and Ralph is our thief.
I think they said something like that, like right in the beginning of the book, how, you know, the thing that they, I think they had like their favorite things and their least favorite things.
Oh, right.
And then they said something like their least favorite things were swindlers or crooks, though they really did like Ralph.
Yes, they do. Even though he is attempted murderer. He does. See, you read a Bear Scouts book. There's even crazier things going on in the chapter books, because that's where you get into like interpersonal relationships between preteens. And oh my lord, if you want to ever read anything where it's just like, I cannot believe I'm reading about like the bear cubs and like they're kissing and like dates and their romantic
what?
Lives. Like that's what the big chapter books are. It's all about the bear cubs and their extended friends and like all the weird relationships they get in.
They made bigger chapter books than this?
Well, they're the same length, but they're actually about like the Cubs' personal lives.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Wow.
If you ever wanted to read about Brother Bear having his first kiss, that's in there.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nuts. It's just nuts. So you gave it a C because of Ralph Swagger. I would say that in the pantheon of Bear Scouts books, it's not my favorite. There's definitely better ones out there. I can't wait to read The Really Big Disaster, though, because I want to see, like, maybe they fit together better as like a part one, part two. Like, maybe I'm just missing out on like all the preamble. But I'll find that out later. This one, however, is available. If you're looking for this book, it is available on as a digital book. Not all the books are. This one is available, so you can just go to wherever you buy digital books and download it and enjoy. I think it was like $1.99. So you're not missing. You're not gonna go into debt if you decide to read The Berenstain Bears and the Evil Eye. So Jen, where can our listeners find you online?
Twitter.com/bestofnextdoor.
And if they want to submit something to Best of Next Door, say they are on the Next Door app, and they're just like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe this. How would they get that to you?
Yeah. So the best way to submit is to go. We also have a Facebook group, which is, the link is in the Twitter bio.
Uh-huh.
And because honestly, that's like the easiest way for me to get submissions.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, just because I've been getting it's been great, but like since The Atlantic and since a lot of these other articles have come out, I've been getting a ton of submissions, which is wonderful. But I kind of love also looking at the Facebook group posts, just because people actually start arguing within the posts, and someone said that they wanted to create a best of next door the group.
Oh,
just no. Because people just and some people comment in the group thinking that they're actually on Next Door. It's just wild. Yeah.
Just like people on Next Door think they're on like Google and
yeah. It's all very strange.
I think my favorite posts of yours are the "This is not a dating site" post. There's a weird added, like, people just don't, sometimes with Next Door, I'm not sure if people just are aware of what they're doing or like like understand just how social media works, how like the internet works, how like being a neighbor works. I don't follow it. People get really angry about things.
Exactly. So it's like, if you're seeing people kind of at their worst, you would want to date them.
Right.
It just shocks me.
Yeah, people get really flirty on there.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Our local government set up a profile on our Next Doors, like the local, like just like for like weather alerts and heat advisories and like this like neighborhood thing is going on, you know, like they can't see anyone's profiles. It's all like, it's all very on the up and up. But they announced themselves. This woman was like, "Hi, I'm like Allison, and I'm the social media person for Hennepin County. And I just want to say hello and that, you know, like we're just here to give weather advisories and alerts. I can't see anyone's profiles. I can't see any of your posts unless you comment on this. So I just wanted to say hello." And oh boy, the get the government out of my business people showed up en masse to complain about this poor, like, I'm sure, like, 20-year-old, like intern who is having to, like, field all this hate directed at her for being on their Next Door app.
Those are the funniest whenever, like, the government or, like, the weather service or something, whenever they post, like, a weather advisory, and then there's always people who are like, "Stop emailing me."
We had a huge heat advisory the other day, and like a big one. Like, it got very humid, very hot, very fast. And so we got this Next Door post, which was like, "This is a heat advisory just to let you know it's going to get, like, the heat index is going to get up to 105. It's gone past an advisory. It's now a warning. Please stay indoors. Please drink plenty of water. Keep children and the elderly in air-conditioned rooms. Please, this is a massive heat wave. It's going to go until 7 o'clock tonight. Thank you for your time. Thank you. This is a massive heat wave. You're all in danger. Goodbye." And the first person that posted was like, "Oh, it's the summer and it's going to get hot. You really needed to interrupt my life to tell me all about that. I couldn't have guessed that from looking outside." And I'm like, dude, come on. Like, what is your problem? Why are you so angry about the heat advisory?
That is the, oh my God, you brought the voice to life. That is exactly how I always pictured everyone on Next Door sounding. Wow.
That's Mr. Next Door. Hey everyone, I'm Mr. Next Door. When I want your opinion, I'll write on Next Door about it. And I'm just like, I have a bear show. I have a fun bear show. I did use Next Door to help rehome a dog once. A dog who was in danger of being put down, needed a home. And so I wrote on Next Door and I was like, "Can someone help me rehome this dog? It's a friend of mine. This dog is in trouble." And They helped, like they came en masse. Because next door, I will say this, in my neighborhood at least, next door loves dogs.
Yeah.
They sure do love dogs and their cats. And you better keep your cat out of their yard because...
There's also so much drama about the about how cats are responsible for the declining bird population.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe how heated those arguments get.
Oh boy.
Like, what are you supposed to do about it?
Oh, and we get a lot of bike lanes in our neighborhoods. Like,
oh no.
This is Minneapolis, so it's like, you know, like one of the biking capitals of the United States. And anytime a bike lane is like even 5 years from creation, you get the biking activists who are like, all you fools riding around in your cars need to learn that bikes are the future. And then like, but there's no like middle ground. Then it's always like, I'll just have you know that if I got in my car and I saw you doing that kind of stuff on your bike, I wouldn't have any hesitation of hitting you with my car. And like, it just goes back and forth like that.
That's right. I forgot you're from Minneapolis. Oh my gosh. So if you like the Facebook page, Best of Next Door, I sort them into albums.
And oh, yeah?
There's so many Minneapolis submissions that it has its own album.
Well, because Minneapolis is so strange because it's not like some Next Doors that are just rampantly racist. It's that weird, like, it's Minneapolis. So everyone's, like, pretending that they're, like, the nicest person in the world, but they're also, like, super passive aggressive and angry.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I love it. I love this city. oh my gosh, we've gone way over.
Oh yay.
That is quite all right. Jen, thank you so much for being on my show.
Cool. Well, thank you. This was so much fun.
And for everyone else out there, you can find me on Twitter at BStainBearcast. You can also find me, if you're ever looking for my personal Twitter, that's P. Corey Gonzalez, where I mostly just promote my other podcasts, such as Click It Cast, a Beverly Cleary podcast that I do with John McCoy, and It's Del Toro Time, a Guillermo del Toro podcast that I do with my teenager, Ollie, if you just can't get enough of my hilarious voices, which I mostly do just to annoy my teenager. I believe in the next upcoming episode, I do a lot of very bad British impressions because we're discussing Oliver Twist. So if you're looking for more terrible dad voices, that's what I do. Jen, thank you so much once again for being on the show.
So much fun. We have to figure something out where you have to reenact the next door people because your voices are just spectacular.
You can count on it. And for everyone else out there, I will see you all next time deep in Bear Country.